Governor Tim Pawlenty delivered his fourth State of the State speech Thursday, March 9, 2006, addressing a joint session of the state legislature, several distinguished guests, and his fellow Minnesotans. The governor began his speech by recounting some of the state's successes during the past year.
Today, the state of our state is strong, hopeful, and prosperous. Our people are working, our students are learning, and our citizens are healthy. Despite all the challenges around us, our success abounds. We're America's healthiest state. We have just about the lowest poverty rate in America. We have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. We have the highest performing students. We lead the nation in the percentage of our citizens who have health insurance. And we're nationally recognized for our water, great outdoors, renewable energy, and quality of life. All of us who've been called to serve in this awesome building have a spectacular opportunity. Every one of us comes to this place with ideas and a passion to make things better. Let's turn that potential into results and show the country how it's done.
With an eye toward the future, Governor Pawlenty laid out his vision for Minnesota's continued prosperity, reminding legislators and citizens that Minnesota is successful, but our future is not guaranteed. Innovation is critical.
My goal as governor is to make Minnesota the best state in which to live, work, and raise a family. In a changing world, our future success depends on our ability to innovate. That's great news, because innovation is what Minnesota does best. We're great innovators because we're free to dream. The ultimate protectors of our freedom are the men and women who serve in the United States military. However, we all know that freedom isn't free. But we also know that not everybody pays the same price. All pay something. Some pay a little more, some pay a lot, and some pay with the ultimate measure of their service. In 6 days, I'll be traveling to Camp Shelby, Mississippi, to say thanks and farewell, for now, to 2,600 Minnesotans who will be shipping out to Iraq. Some of those soldiers are watching us today via the internet. Let's look at that camera in the back of the chamber and give them our best wishes for a safe and successful mission. There are four things that will make the biggest difference in creating Minnesota's future. Education, health care, natural resources, and growing jobs.
Governor Pawlenty spoke of the importance of rising to the challenges of our time with a strong education system. The governor urged the legislature to approve his early childhood education initiatives and to expand advanced placement and international baccalaureate programs.
I ask that you pass the early childhood education initiatives I announced this week to help make sure our youngest get a better start in the education race. We also need to make sure that more of our resources get to where they matter the most. Let's require that at least 70% of school funding actually reaches the classroom. We also need to realize that science and math are the new currency of the new economy. We need more rigor in these areas. We should upgrade our school standards to require Algebra 1 by 8th grade and Algebra 2 and chemistry to graduate from high school. And while we're at it, let's bring a lesson from the game room into the classroom by including digital literacy as part of our school standards so that our kids know how to use and access technology as a basic skill. Advanced placement and international baccalaureate programs provide the rigor and relevance we need to prepare our students for the future, but they're not available to most students. I'm proposing that we provide $7 million in financial incentives for at least 10 pioneering districts to use AP or IB for all students in all grades. In addition, we need to transform our high school so we're better preparing our young people for the economy of the future. Academic progress in our secondary schools is flattening out. In the past, I proposed school choice as an alternative for poor, failing, or disabled children. The legislature should pass school choice as an alternative at least for the most disadvantaged students. In the meantime, we should pursue other new and innovative approaches that produce results, such as the Knowledge is Power program, or KIPP schools. These are rigorous, public, college prep schools where disadvantaged students develop the knowledge, skills, and character needed to succeed in top-quality high schools, colleges, and the competitive world beyond. I'm directing our Department of Education to seek out and authorize KIPP charter schools in Minnesota, focusing on areas where the needs are the greatest.
Governor Pawlenty also spoke about improving health care for Minnesotans. The governor pushed for pay for performance in all public health programs and reducing health care administration headaches with electronic medical records.
In addition, we got to improve our education system, but we also have to innovate and improve our health care system. People currently excluded from health insurance tend to be the working poor. Basic health insurance is available for less than $200 per month. We need to direct our HMOs and insurance companies to raise awareness and get more uninsured people to use these plans. We may also need to consider incentives or requirements for uninsured citizens to have health insurance coverage. Let's also measure and pay for better health care. What gets measured and paid for gets done. Today, I'm directing the Department of Employee Relations to incorporate pay for performance into the state's health plan, and will ask the legislature to expand this approach to all public programs. We must also control other health care costs. Every business can tell you how much they charge for a service. Healthcare providers should be able to do the same. Last year, we required some healthcare providers to supply some cost information. Now, it's time to require it from all providers and for more procedures. We must also focus on reducing administrative costs in healthcare. I'm proposing a $12 million program to help small healthcare providers make the transition to an interconnected electronic medical record system so that medical errors are reduced and healthcare is improved. Today, I'm also challenging the providers and healthcare plans to match this amount so we can make progress more quickly. Finally, on the issue of health, Minnesota is recognized for our public health and emergency response systems. But as we face the threat of a worldwide bird flu pandemic, we need to be even better prepared. I propose we bolster our efforts with an immediate $10 million infusion of funds to further strengthen our defenses against this coming threat.
The governor pushed for strong support on a variety of proposals to protect Minnesota's natural resources. The governor urged the legislature to pass a constitutional amendment to dedicate funding for conservation and clean water.
While we work on the health of our people, we must also work on the health of our natural resources. They help define our quality of life in this beautiful state. The threat to our natural resources is growing faster than our ability to protect them. But to do so properly, we need a plan. I'm grateful for the recent efforts to reform the governance of the great outdoors and the use of the Environmental Trust Fund. Please pass those reforms this year. But let's also take the next step and fund the development of a long-term statewide strategic plan for conservation. I also urge you again to pass a constitutional amendment to dedicate funding for conservation and clean water. Don't water it down. Don't make it too broad. Just pass it. In the land of 10,000 lakes, water matters a lot to all of us. Too many of our lakes are in trouble, and they need our help. So while we're waiting for the constitutional amendment to pass, let's make a $20 million investment right now for clean water legacy funding. I also urge you to approve my bonding request for $200 million for conservation, the outdoors, and parks. Likewise, let's pass my proposal to achieve a 90% reduction of mercury emissions to keep the air and water clean for our kids. We can also help our environment and gain economic advantage by leading further innovation in renewable energy. The world demand for fossil fuel is exploding, but the supply is flat. That's a big problem, and it needs to be addressed. Let's face it. Washington has been slow to lead on this issue, but we can't afford to wait for them. Let's lead the way and set a strategic goal of 25 by 25, so that 25% of all types of our energy will come from renewable sources by 2025.
Governor Pawlenty emphasized the need to strengthen the state's economy and recognize the importance of job providers. The governor also pushed for a series of tax cuts and caps, along with a pay-per-performance system for politicians.
Our strong economy has generated double-digit revenue increases this biennium. The best way to generate revenue is to keep our job providers here and growing. In strategic ways, we must reduce the burdens that government places on job providers and taxpayers in order to spur economic growth. So in this short session, let's focus on a few key priorities in this area. Let's put a cap on property taxes. Let's accelerate the move toward a single sales factor corporate tax so we don't punish job creation and plant expansion in Minnesota. Let's encourage our dairy producers to innovate by passing a dairy investment tax credit. And here's a no-brainer. Let's eliminate the marriage penalty in our tax code. One of the most important roles of government is to protect its citizens. Sometimes that means protecting them from their own government. I urge us to come together to pass meaningful and responsible reforms to Minnesota's eminent domain laws this session. Finally, let's not be afraid to discuss and debate and take action on issues which make some in this building nervous, but that are supported by a lot of Minnesotans. Let's walk the walk and hold ourselves more accountable by passing performance pay for politicians. Let's encourage and welcome legal immigration, but make sure we don't look the other way on immigration that's illegal. And let's make sure that courts can't throw out our defensive marriage laws in Minnesota like they have in other states. Let's define marriage in our Constitution as being between a man and a woman.
Governor Pawlenty concluded his speech with a call to action for Minnesotans.
John Kennedy put it best when he said this: in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future. And we are all mortal. He's describing us. Years from now, the configuration of politics and personalities currently in this place will matter very little. What will matter is how we lived, how we served, and how we made things better. May God open our eyes to our common purpose, guide our service in this time and place, and continue to richly bless all the people of Minnesota. Thank you all.
To learn more about any of the subjects addressed in Governor Pawlenty's speech, please visit his website at www.governor.state.mn.us or send the governor an email at tim.pawlenty@state.mn.us. Also, be sure to check the website regularly for more podcasts from Governor Pawlenty.